Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, a place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, a place for American patriots to come together to be united to save our country, to actually be united as one nation under God, because that's what we are. We are one nation under God. Regardless of what some may want you to think or what some may want to brainwash you into believing, they can try to remove all the references to God, but the only way we survive is one nation under God. We see that over and over again, and that's definitely what the Founding Fathers said for a free society. Now, if you want to be in a communist country and you want to live under communism and you want to be a serf or a slave to the government, then, you know, one nation under God doesn't mean anything. One world order does, but not one nation under God. Okay, well, anyway, before I get going on all of that, today is Monday, May 6, 2013, and my name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight is going to be kind of an open format. We're going to talk about the Second American Revolution, now or never. We're at this point. We are truly at the point where it's now or never. Many times I say I think we've already fallen, and I have concerns that we truly have already fallen. We just don't know it. I mean, what does it take when you have to have a total meltdown of everything, or is it when China comes in and just buys up most of your land and takes over, when China comes in and starts teaching your kids, or when the Islamic radicals come in and take over your cities, cause a major city to be brought to its knees? So, I mean, what is the ultimate proof that we have fallen, that we no longer are here, that we're no longer truly a sovereign nation? You can call us what you want, but are we truly a free nation? Are we truly the land of the free and home of the brave kind of thing? So we're going to talk about that in general. I haven't really, to be honest with you, I have not watched a whole lot of news today or even over this weekend, even though so much of Sunday talk shows you keep hearing the same thing over and over again. But I thought the Benghazi thing was interesting when it came to, and today they were supposed to be having, whistleblowers were supposed to be testifying today. I did not see any of that or hear any of that, except the bits and clips of that it was going to be coming up, but I really didn't know too much more than that. So anybody listening who wants to talk about that, I could definitely use some information. I don't know what came down today with the Benghazi whistleblowers. But, I mean, we all know it was a fraud, a treason. It's beyond fraud. It's treason, what they did with Benghazi. And the question, the strength of this country is going to be if these people are allowed to get away with it. Well, these people in public office get away with everything, which I'll kind of make a joke in a discussion about that in a reference to something a little bit lower down the food chain, but still government getting away with everything. But this is high treason. Being traitors and destroying this country with these people in power, and most of these people are people who believe in one world order. And isn't that the ultimate example of treason? You believe in one world order, and you're letting our people be killed and doing nothing about it, then you lie about it. You tell them to stand down and don't allow our people to go help. It's treason. It is absolutely treason. No other way to put it, but that's what it is. And that is absolutely what it is. So the other thing, like I said, I really hadn't done a whole lot with the news today and even over the weekend. You got to take a break from it sometime. You just can't listen to it around the clock. You know, otherwise you go totally crazy, or at least I think most of us would. So I kind of took a little bit of a break, but I did hear a little bit about the White House occupier going to Mexico. Excuse me. And I saw this, heard this clip, very brief, with him in Mexico. So I didn't hear the whole thing, but it was about, it's the Americans' fault, the drug consumption, the consumption of illegal drugs by Americans is what has caused all the problems on the border with the drug cartels. It's because those evil Americans are taking too many drugs and consuming them. Well, first off, I really do wish people would stop consuming them, because it definitely would make a difference. The market will, the issue with it, the legality and all the other things. Definitely does go down if you don't have a market for it. But to go and act like it's because of people's consumption of it is, you know, the Mexicans just have to come in. The Mexican cartels just have to exist because of those evil Americans. I mean, that was the mentality of it. That was his attitude. Once again, the White House occupier trashing the American people. And then the other part, which anybody that heard this part would be just pissed off. So even, you know, you idiot. No disrespect to the office, but disrespect to the person in it. To say that, and most of the crime going on in Mexico is done by American guns. I wonder how the American guns got down there. Was it Fast and Furious by some chance? How come this White House occupier didn't say, yeah, and unfortunately we were doing something and we gave you a bunch of them too. The U.S. government gave you a whole bunch of guns. But he tried to act like it's all the guns coming from the U.S. and that's what's causing all the problems. He's a traitor. The guy is a treasonous traitor. And it really does show the fall of the country if those who are in the two houses of Congress and, of course, the American people allow the traitors to stay in office. The treasonous traitors are in office. What does it say about us when we allow treasonous traitors to maintain our office? It's ours. It's not his. He's not King Obama yet. King B.O. He wants to be, and he thinks he is. But then again, he can't do that alone without the treasonous idiots in the two houses of Congress. So, you know, but just imagine that he had the nerve to tell the Mexican people, you know, it's our fault. It's the Americans' fault because you've got American guns. It's the American guns that are causing all the problems that you have. And it's everything they say about this gun stuff, it's so stupid, and it's a scam against people who just don't have a clue what's going on. Because all you got to do is look around this country. The gun-free zones are the places where people get killed the most because the criminals do not follow the gun-free zones. Gun-free zones mean, okay, go down there and get shot. Go to the gun-free zone thinking you're safe, but you're actually making yourself a target because the criminal element will be down there with the guns. And this is California and, of course, Chicago. It's just, it's ridiculous. The other thing, let's see here. Of course, all sorts of discussions about immigration. I'll probably talk a little bit about it, but I don't plan on going into too much detail. We've talked quite a bit about it already on the show. And if anybody's got anything new that they want to share into it, please feel free to call in and discuss it. And when you call in, 347-857-4364, make sure you press 1 so that I know you want to talk on the air. If I do not see that you have pressed 1, I will not think you want to talk on the air, and I will not bother you. I will not go to you. So I'm not ignoring you. I'm just leaving you alone because you didn't press 1. Okay, immigration. When we talk about immigration, something came through in reference to our good friend, Mr. Rubio. And I probably should kind of click on that thing. I'll click on that article and read a little bit of it. But in the overall scheme of things, and this is, you know, these bits and pieces, anytime you hear anything on any news show, at least on the cable news, when they say immigration and they say Republicans, the Republicans have to cave into this stuff. They have to. They have to get that Hispanic vote. They don't need the American vote. They need the Hispanic vote. And the way they divide the two groups, there's the Hispanics and then there's the Americans. Isn't that sick? But that's what they say. We're not all Americans. There's Hispanics, and then there's Americans. Forget those Italians out there. They don't count. Forget the Germans out there. They don't count. Forget the Canadians out there. They don't count. But the Hispanics, you count. You're special because most of you are here illegally. So we have to give the illegal Hispanics all the breaks via immigration, amnesty, Rubio's amnesty plan, and the GOP just have to do it. They won't be a party if they don't. Well, let me tell you something. They won't be a party if they do. They're not really much of a party now because they stand for nothing. They literally stand for nothing. more and more people are leaving the Republican Party because it has no values. The Republican Party is almost a pure, total mirror image of the Democrats. So if you didn't want to be a Democrat, why do you want to be a Republican? A GOP POG, as I call it. And the GOP is called POGs, which, let's be honest, in the history of these two parties, the Democrats were completely different at one point, and they were just trying to truly stand up on behalf of the working class. It felt like they had nobody speaking their voice, speaking up for them. So the Democrat Party was totally different at one time, too. It wasn't always a slavery, promote slavery, promote serfdom, promote the government feeding the people, because that's, you know, that's what the Democrat Party has become, too. It's all one world order. It's all socialism and communism where the government takes care of the people, except if the government can't take care of everybody, some of us have to work for a living. So then you're going to be a serf, especially the children through Common Core. The next generation coming up is going to be indoctrinated at school, and they're going to be told what their job in society is going to be. They will have no free choice. They will have no liberty. They will have no free will. They will not have that option. And that's what's happening. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party, in its attempt to initially protect the working class, they have enslaved the working class. They have literally turned the working class into a group of serfs. And then you have the Republicans, who now are very much a mirror image of that, through the one world order mentality, a few people in control of everything. It's just, there's no difference. There's really no difference in the two parties. But this notion, and I mean, I guess if you want to say, because the Democrat Party is out there seeking the Hispanic vote, they want to get all the illegals to be able to vote for them. Of course, the illegals vote now, so I'm not really sure what difference that makes, because we have no true voting laws. I mean, nobody follows the laws. But they say, well, the Republicans have to do that if they want to have a viable chance. But they have to go get that Hispanic vote. Forget the Americans. The Americans don't matter. That's what both parties are telling you. Both parties, and of course, you know, the Democrats are telling the GOP, well, they're going to have to do something, otherwise they're not going to have a chance. They're going to have to be like us, otherwise they won't get the Hispanic vote. This is the mentality of what the DNC is telling the RNC, and the RNC is always saying, well, all you got to do is look at what happened in 2012. No. Well, I mean, yes, you do need to look at what happened in 2012, but it wasn't because of illegal Hispanics. That wasn't the problem, because you chose Mitt Romney as your candidate, and many of us told you he could never get elected. He was too liberal, too. Oh, Romney care, Obamacare, Romney care. But the Republican Party is just like the DNC. The GOP POGs are the same as the DNC. So they ran another liberal. I mean, maybe he wasn't quite as liberal as the White House occupier, but he wasn't that much different. He just wasn't. Not to mention his wealth. And, you know, personally, that's the whole idea. You know, the sky is the limit for an American. You have the option to, as long as you do the work. Now, when it comes to Romney, yes, he did a lot of work, but he also was born with a silver spoon. His father owned American Motors, yeah. Romney, he wasn't like some of us who have had to work our whole lives and just have lived on the other side of the tracks, if you will. So he doesn't understand that part. Excuse me. He doesn't understand that part, and he couldn't. And so because of that, he kept trying to act like he could just roll up his sleeves and be like the working class, and he couldn't. He wasn't the working class. He never was. His family never was. He had no clue. So he would pretend to be this, and every time he tried to pretend to be this, I mean, the working class would have known not to put a dog on top of the car. The working class would have never done that to their dog. Somebody in that class would have done that. But it was during his campaign, you know, here we're people are suffering, having a rough time, and you're building a car elevator, an elevator for your car. And you, somehow you think you can sympathize with those of us that are out here suffering, trying to make a house payment every month, and dealing with the inflation, dealing with the increasing taxes, and you somehow think you can do that. But, and again, it was ultimately the GOP POGs who manipulated the primaries, never gave the Republicans a choice. The Republicans didn't have a choice. But look what they did with Ron Paul, and look what they did with Rand Paul, the game they had going on between those two. And we'll see, because everybody figured back in that time, there was some kind of game going on trying to get Rand Paul to support Romney, because they knew if they didn't get that vote, they didn't stand a chance either. They played some kind of game, and you just kind of wonder what they were trying to promise Rand Paul, because now they have Rubio out there. And the GOP POGs, I'm telling you, I would love to be wrong, but everything out there says they are going to go gangbusters behind Rubio, who's not eligible to be the president, because that's what the Republican Party stands for. And it goes back to this mentality that they have to do this because they have to have a Hispanic. Americans don't count. You got to be Hispanic. That's who they focus on. Ignore all the Americans. The Americans mean nothing. It's the Hispanics. So we have to have a Hispanic. And guess what? Rand Paul doesn't qualify as Hispanic at all. So we'll see. But anyway, and on that note there, this article that was about good old Marco Rubio. Let's see if I can find it. Oops, I hope I didn't already move it. Let's see. Cesar Conda, Marco Rubio's chief of staff, worked for George Soros. Surprise, surprise. This is why the GOP is nothing different than the DNC. This is what Marco Rubio is. He is a socialist. Whether he's a full-blown communist, I don't know, but he's definitely a socialist. He's a one-world order. He's a Agenda 21 sustainable development guy. And I'm telling everybody that's out there, and because he may be the presidential candidate, I think everybody in this country has a right to call and ask, but definitely people here in Florida, call his office. I've called his Orlando office, and I said, what is his position on Common Core? I never gave any instance, I never gave any hint of what my position was. I didn't say I liked it, didn't like it, didn't give any, I just said Common Core education. What is the senator's position on Common Core? As in the Common Core Education's program. What is his position? They don't know. How can he not know? I mean, I understand his focus is immigration, but what about Common Core education for children? He's got children. How can he not know? He doesn't want to say because of what he stands for. He can only BS it for so long. Like he can't go out there and say he doesn't believe in Common Core and then vote for it. So he'd rather say, oh, he hasn't made a decision yet. He doesn't really have a position on it yet. Everybody in Florida, everybody nationwide, anybody who thinks he's going to be the candidate for the GOP POGs in 2016, call him and ask him that question. Call him, and especially the people here in Florida. Because if he doesn't run for the president, you know he's going to run for re-election in the Senate. And I'm telling you, I will not vote for him. I didn't vote for him last time. I will not vote for him this time. I will not vote for POGs, GOP POGs. The other, as we get into the general topic for tonight, the second revolution, now or never. When you look around at what's happening in our country, which is kind of the list of issues I had on the show page today, does it look like the one world order communists are winning? Because to me, it kind of does. Which again goes back to the fact that we have the society has fallen. The United States of America has collapsed. It's fallen, and we just don't know it. Has fallen, and we just don't know it. So when we think of that, and I was just talking about the Common Core indoctrination, Oops, I spelled indoctrination wrong. I better get that out fixed. The when you look at the whole overall scheme of things, what they're doing to the children, education, indoctrination of the children. Then you go to the next level, welfare instead of responsibility. We want to control people, so we will make sure that we're the one feeding them. We've got to get this mentality that they are dependent on us. Food stamps, Section 8 housing, bus transportation, and then, of course, control the communication. And then, of course, healthcare, Obamacare. I have heard, and this is over the past week, maybe 2 weeks now, Obamacare is really, people are really beginning to see what it truly is. Even the Democrats are beginning to think twice, and there's a big push to have another vote on it and possibly repeal it. I think we might still get this thing repealed because now that they voted on it and they can find out what's in it, it isn't quite so pretty. So I think there's a very good chance, and people need to really keep pushing to do that. Obamacare was always unconstitutional, and it's such a negative to the working class. It's going to harm so many working class people. And the nerve or the thought that many of us would be, our jobs would cut us down to less than 30 hours so they wouldn't have to pay the insurance. So now instead of having one job, I have to have two jobs. That's what this could mean. And every working class person who faces that needs to call that White House. Call the White House occupier and call that idiot by the name of Pelosi and read. Make sure you send them the information. Let them know instead of you having one full-time job, now you have to have two part-time jobs, so you work more hours and you get less money. But then again, that's what they wanted because this is what One World Order is, the road to serfdom, converting the working class, the middle-class Americans to a bunch of serfs. And that's what they're doing. And they're doing it successfully. It's working. The One World Order communists are winning, as I see it right now. They are winning. This nonsense, going back to the Common Core indoctrination, this same thing, the same mentality of what they're doing with the children, to say that the children are the property of the community. Now, I don't have a problem with the fact that I think as a community, we all support each other. And if you see a child in trouble, yes, you would help them. You wouldn't leave the child standing out in the middle of the street and those kind of things. But the child is the family. The child is part of that family. And it's not, the child is not property of the community. There's a family. The parents are responsible for that child. And that's, and with that very same statement, parents need to spend more time teaching their children, being involved in what's going on in their child's education. If parents will spend the same amount of time doing the bookwork as they do on the Little League field, we would all be so much better. And Little League's important. Kids ought to have fun. But unfortunately, there's two, the greed of some parents, the greed, and I'll actually call it a sickness, of some parents who think that their child's going to be some major league pro athlete of some sort, whether it be the NFL, the Major League Baseball, NBA, whatever, that's what their mentality is, and they want their kid to do that because they'll be rich. That's what so many, and it's really sick when that's what the parent's mindset is. The mindset isn't to raise a child to be a part of a community with the values that they should have and the skills to live, and to have principles. That's not what they think about. They say, can you get a touchdown and can you get a home run or a slam dunk? And it's really sick. And I've seen this time and time again with going to major Little League games and things like that. You just see this stuff happening. Excuse me. And when it comes to football, and it's not as bad, I guess, with soccer, but it's also an element of it too, because they're rough sports. The head collisions, the damage to people they're doing to their heads, the brains, they're literally destroying their brains, turning their brains into mush, is another reason not to have kids doing that kind of stuff. But you got these people, unfortunately, you got these parents that they want their kid to be in the NFL. That's all they want. It's not what the kid wants. It's what the adult wants, which is pretty sick, pretty pathetic. It's one thing if a kid really wants to play and seems to have fun and you try to support him doing it, but to sit there and act like that's all there is to it and that they don't know how to read and write, but that's not important to you. So, anyway, Common Core indoctrination, it literally is taking the child out of the family environment, out of the family environment and putting the child as property of a community to be indoctrinated, and it's going to be, okay, first few years you're going to be taught this basic level of information, that you're going to be tested highly, MRI crap, every kind of monitoring they will do of this child. And then at a certain age, and I'm not sure what that exact age is right now, but there's going to be this time to say, well, based on everything you have done up to this point, you are suited to be a housekeeper at the hotel. Or you are suited to be an athlete over here. Or you are suited to go into technology over here. And then that's where you go. You don't pick. The student does not pick. The government does. The same indoctrination that has gone on in China and Russia, communist countries. So that's where we're heading. Communism. Common Core communism. There's a reason why they call it Common Core communism. And that's the truth. Go out there and check it out. Then, let's see. The other aspect of it is the disarming of Americans. That's what you got to do. One world order. And right now, that one, I'm actually feeling pretty good about protecting the Second Amendment. The NRA is definitely out there, and there are so many people involved with the NRA, so many who support it. And also, every time they try to get this push out there, more guns are sold than anything else. So truthfully, if you had been investing in anything, you should have been investing in guns at the time. I definitely wasn't, but the fact that people have gone out there and bought up guns more and more and more because of their conversation, they have really done just the opposite of what they were trying to do. Instead of disarming Americans, they have armed them more. But they're still going to try and destroy that Second Amendment and try to have the right to come into your house and take your arms. And so we can't let that happen. And then there's the good old Patriot Act. It means you have no privacy, which means they, based on the Patriot Act, they can come into your house with no warrant. Myself, I wouldn't let them do it. They'd have to break the door down. I would not let them do it. I refuse to surrender those rights. What's that expression out there now? I will not comply. I will not comply. I will not simply cave in and be a sheeple or a serf to this tyrannical government. I won't surrender my rights. And then we were talking about the immigration. And let's be honest, immigration, the way they have managed immigration, legal and illegal, immigration has been the invasion of the United States of America. Those in power have gone out of their way to make sure that anti-Americans come into this country, illegally and legally. And then they go and convert them into citizens, so that they can give them all the protections of the American of American citizenship, while they know they're anti-Americans trying to destroy this country. What a way! And again, it's all treason. To go out there and literally bring in the army, train the army at the taxpayers' expense to destroy your own country. Because those in charge, the White House occupier, the Clinton, especially Hillary Clinton, this mentality, the one world globalist, one world communist, this is how they can take down the country and knock us down to being under the control of the United Nations, one world order. Patriot Act does many pieces of that, takes away so many of our rights, so many of our liberties. And how many Americans caved in because of 9/11? It's like, but Americans aren't supposed to be that weak. Home of the brave, people. What happened there? Home of the brave. somehow it just didn't happen. They brainwashed you into saying the Patriot Act and how patriotic the Patriot Act sounds, when in fact it's about as anti-patriotic as it gets. It's about as anti-American and anti-patriotic as it gets. And at the same time they did that, what else did they do? The Department of Homeland Security. And how has that been working out for us? I opposed it, I protested, I let them know I didn't support it because I knew it was nothing but a waste of money. Department of Homeland Security was supposed to bring the agencies together. Well, based on everything we just saw in Boston, obviously it wasn't bringing the agencies together. It didn't do anything except waste a bunch of our money and give a moron like Janet Napolitano all sorts of crazy powers to do things she shouldn't be doing. And what, by the way, what is that lady still doing there? Why is she still there? She's a treasonous traitor, too. But why is she there? What about those two houses of Congress? Don't they do anything? It's the communists are winning. The communists have pretty much taken over Washington, D.C. And if anybody disagrees with that, you are more than welcome to call in and say it. And I just think when you see everything that happened in Benghazi, and again, you know, as I was talking earlier, I didn't get to hear the hear them testify today, but I was under the impression that there were going to be some whistleblowers out there today testifying about it, and I would like to know what happened with that. But it's so obvious what they did was nothing but treason. Treason against the United States of America, and these people are still in office. Nobody's done anything about it. And what is the White House occupier saying? Oh, that's old news. Old stuff. That's old. That's old news. Of course, they're still complaining about George Bush, which I'm not going to say George Bush was anything wonderful, but they're out there complaining about what George Bush was doing. They're still blaming everything on Bush. And how many years ago was that? But Benghazi, that's what, 6 months ago? 6-7 months ago, or whatever it was now, the 9/11. That's old news. We're not going to waste our time talking about what happened there. Well, yeah, because it's treason. Absolutely treason. And then, so, the overall, you take those things going on, the Patriot Act, immigration, and I truly believe immigration, the way they have done it, legal and illegal, both sides of it, has been the silent invasion of the United States of America. They have allowed anti-Americans all over this country with absolutely no control, total violation of their oath of office to protect the security and the borders and the security of the people, but they don't care because their mentality is one world order, and again, the communists are winning. Then we have, of course, the excessive taxation. That all plays into all of this. They keep spending our money, giving it to all their friends, their solar companies, whatever else they want to, giving it to the banks, every kind of way. And excessive taxation, who does it hurt? The working class. Middle-class America is getting it left and right, and they're destroying us. They're putting people to basically taking them down to their knees. They're forcing them to become dependent. They're forcing them on food stamps. They're forcing them on welfare. And Obamacare, again, is going to be a big part. People are going to have two part-time jobs instead of one job. And then the excessive taxation of it all. They're destroying us. Then you have controlled media. By controlling the media, they control the message. And you think of everything communist. Common core indoctrination, the brainwashing and indoctrination of the children. Then this mentality to convert people into a welfare state. Then you take health, Obamacare, government-controlled health care. Then the disarming of the American people, trying to disarm them. The destruction of the liberty through the Patriot Act. This massive invasion through illegal immigration and legal immigration, both pieces. I can't stress enough, the invasion of the United States has both been through the manipulation of immigration, legal and illegal. And then you get this excessive taxation. And then you go and you take control of the media. The censorship and control of the media, are these not some of the most basic fundamental things when you think about communism, that they control what's on TV, they control what's on the news, they control what you're allowed to read, they control the books, censorship, and the controlled message. And I'm telling you, the controlled message, the media, is totally working for the government. The media is, well, maybe not totally, let's say 90%. 90% is the message of what the government tells them to do. They have become the PR department for the government in most ways. It's despicable. And then that censorship, which censorship all ties into that education. You don't want people to learn and read stuff. You don't want them to know. You're going to dumb down the society and keep them at a level that you are safe with, the road to serfdom. How are you going to control these people? Which is the next topic I have, American serfdom. Society has been being converted to serfdom. And really, I guess, well, maybe before the baby boomers. I'm not sure when the whole thing really started. But Common Core is the last nail in the coffin of American serfdom, where you go and take the children and you indoctrinate them into a communist mentality. So the American serf is here, the road to serfdom. And then the other things you do, controlling transportation. Again, you don't want people to have the rights to come and go where they want to. Controlling the society by the elites who take themselves to be above the serfs and the peasants. So you will have no personal transportation. That will go away in time. And they'll control where you go and when you come and when you go. That's all part of communism. Controlled food supply, we see that happening now. All the different things they're doing to modify the foods, even things Monsanto is doing. My understanding is they actually produce crops that do not produce seeds. So they totally control the production of new crops the way they do it. I'm not an expert on that whole process of what they're doing, but when they control the food supply, that's a pretty big deal when it comes to communism, controlling that food supply. And then eminent domain. Eminent domain is one of those biggies where the government can come take your property. You truly have no rights to own property anymore. You have no rights to own property. The government says, hey, we want the land. It's ours. Eminent domain used to mean there was a criteria in order to take the property. But that's really not the case anymore. They say, oh, we want to build this over here. We want to build a shopping mall that we think will bring higher tax revenues. So anybody who's got a house there, tough luck. We're taking your house. And we'll give you a few piddlings for it, usually not giving fair market value at all, but forcing these people out. And that's wrong. Totally wrong. Then we've got the EPA taking over the family farms. We had bakers from Green Acres. They were on because they have been harassed. This is up in Michigan. Michigan Department of Natural Resources has been harassing these people, and they truly have an organic farm. The organic food that would be better for us. They're trying to shut them down. They've been harassing them for years. And then EPA harassed those other people out in Idaho, which they finally got their property right, and EPA was pushed back. But EPA needs to be abolished. Department of Education needs to be abolished. EPA needs to be abolished beyond any reasonable doubt. And, of course, the IRS needs to be abolished, too, but we won't hope for that to happen just yet. But definitely get rid of those two departments. And then American treason. The treason of these people in public office. Which ties into the next, American treason and the enemy from within. We have to look at who is in our own government who is destroying us. These people are destroying us, the enemy from within. It's not Al-Qaeda we have to worry about. It's those people within our government who are bringing Al-Qaeda into it, who are promoting that kind of anti-American attitude. The enemies from within. We have much more to fear by those in public office today. The enemies, the antis. And it's at all levels. local, state, federal, the anti-Americans. Do we have enough true American patriots to have a second revolution? I believe we do. But the point, the sad part is the people who truly believe have to know that we can come together to do this. Right now, people are spread out, and they feel like they're surrounded by the evildoers, the enemy from within, just like Common Core. It's amazing the different things I hear about school education from the teachers. How many teachers think there's definitely the indoctrination of some of these teachers has already happened, where they think that they are entitled, and the unions have been a big part of that problem. But Florida did just recently change something on tenure. So the teachers don't have tenure, and they're not automatically guaranteed anything, which is the way it should be. I don't believe in tenure. And so the teacher union mentality. And then the same people who have already been brainwashed by the system are there being taught about how wonderful Common Core is by the likes of a Jeb Bush, who's a communist. And the Bushes have always been communists. Just go do the history. They've always been. It was George Bush Sr. who got us into Agenda 21, and he's out there. You can find the YouTube on it. A new world order. We are approaching a new world order. That was Agenda 21, one world government. Bush, George Bush Sr. And then of course it was Prescott Bush who was out there helping Hitler. Funding Hitler and his massive communist takeover. It's very, very sad. This is where we're at. And I was talking about the Marco Rubio thing. Let me get back to that because there was something I was going to read on there. Let me go ahead and read this information. And this is an article, let's see here, this was sent to me, Cesar Conda, Marco Rubio's chief of staff, worked for George Soros. I'm not seeing a date on this article, but it's bound to be here someplace. But anyway, he recently made his tweets private. This guy, all of a sudden, he's protecting his tweets. So the general public cannot read them. Cesar Conda has been pushing amnesty for illegals on Twitter and elsewhere as Marco Rubio's PR agent. Conda, who is an immigration lawyer, went to work for George Soros before becoming Rubio's chief of staff. Cesar Conda worked on the editorial advisory board of George Soros magazine. Think about that. George Soros and Marco Rubio. What a happy family here, right? Isn't that who you want in public office? If you're a communist, it is. If you want the demise and the fall of the United States of America, this would be a good combination. Get Rubio in there, who's got his chief of staff, who's a amnesty advocate and pro-George Soros. What more do you want? What more could you ask for? Cesar Conda has been spinning his lies about the amnesty bill and how illegal wouldn't get welfare, wait for more than 10 years for citizenship, et cetera, et cetera. Those lies have all been completely debunked. Another Rubio spokesperson, Alex Conant, recently compared illegal aliens living and working in this country to the institution of slavery. And that's really what it is right now. So those who act like what's going on, the whole thing with allowing the illegals to keep coming in here and to play all these games of what they do is truly promoting slavery. But what they're trying to do on immigration reform isn't the solution either. It's secure the borders and enforce the laws. Secure the borders, stop the influx of all these people. And that's not just strictly the southern border. That's the airports, too. That's the ports, too, where these people are coming and going, just like our friends in Boston, are allowed to come and go. And how many people come in, student visas, who never show up for class and overstay? So the illegal immigration is much, much bigger than strictly the Hispanic, even though that's what you hear the most about. And it's much, much more than strictly Mexico, even though that's definitely a big source of it. That's the easiest entry. But apparently the Saudis have free reign to come and go in this country whenever they want to, which, again, is pretty scary. Let's see what else is on here. So now you understand why Marco Rubio is so gung-ho for amnesty. He surrounds himself with a George Soros monkey like Cesar Conde and other idiots like Alex Conant, sad that Rubio is turning to be such a huge disappointment. At this point, he doesn't seem much different than Charlie Crist. He's not. Charlie Crist was a Republican, too. But and hey, this is exactly what I told you at the beginning. There is no difference. Please accept that fact. There's no difference in these parties. It's right here in front of you. How much more do you got to see to be convinced? You know, Jim DeMint was out there complaining about the immigration bill, and it's he was out there saying for Heritage, he's now a part of Heritage Foundation, Jim DeMint, immigration bill will cost U.S. trillions. And he was actually comparing the immigration bill to Obamacare. These two pieces, and there's actually the link between them, what it's going to cost on this, and then you go and take Obamacare. I think immigration may actually help defeat or get rid of Obamacare, too. That would be the only benefit to it, because it's really focusing in how these kind of programs do nothing but destroy the middle class and destroy this country. Let's see. What else? I can see if there's any other. Okay, that's pretty much all I've got on this particular article. But I have seen different emails coming through with how Rubio and his chief of staff are all somehow related or doing business with George Soros. Now, isn't that who you want for the president of the United States? GOP, POGS. I'm telling you, just amazing. Just amazing. So let's see. The other thing, let's see here. Well, I see that damn mad Granny Taft has finally joined us. I see her out there. And I'm sure she's got a few things on her mind today, but we'll get to that. The other thing when I was talking about the One World Order communists are winning. Right now, I think they're winning. When you look around, I think they are winning. The question is, are we going to have a second revolution? Or are we going to save this country? Can we do it? I know that we can do it. The question is, do we have the will? Do we have enough American patriots out there who strongly believe in the Constitution and will do it? Do we have that will? Can we do this? Thank goodness it only takes a critical mass, which is that 3 to 5% of the people who are truly actively engaged in what's going on that can make a difference. So I do hope so. I do hope we can do it. And let's see, what was the other? In talking about immigration, I sent an email to On the Record with Greta and then Neil Cavuto on Fox News, Greta Van Susteren and Neil Cavuto, asking them to have a true debate on immigration. I want to see Senator Jeff Sessions debate Marco Rubio. Jeff Sessions has been out there. He goes through the numbers. He has studied that thing. He knows what it is. I would love to see him debate Marco Rubio on immigration reform, on the perfect challenge. Well, Marco Rubio, hey, you're supposed to be the author and the chief owner of this immigration reform bill. The Gang of Eight, of course, are there with you, but you were the key to it. You were the one. You were the Hispanic individual leading the charge, which was critical. You had to have a Hispanic face on the front of it. So you got him and have him debate plain old-fashioned American boy, Southerner Jeff Sessions, which he's a Southerner. He's out of Alabama. And he's got that Southern twang out there, but he's very much a constitutionalist, and he has been opposing most of the stuff. I have been watching or following Jeff Sessions for years, and I would love to see the two of them debate, Because Jeff Sessions will come out there and he'll ask questions. He asked Schumer questions, but Schumer wouldn't answer when they were both on some show. He said, if I have the proof that shows this and this and this, would you admit that there's a problem? And Schumer just ignored the whole question. And Jeff Sessions had the facts on his side. So if you can, go ahead and send an email over there to our friends at Fox or any whoever else out there and say, why don't we have a debate on immigration? Have Jeff Sessions out there and Marco Rubio. You can have just those two people debating it. Maybe you want to have one or two others from the Gang of Eight, and you can either get Rand Paul or one other one on the other side to debate it from the other side. And put all the facts out there. Wouldn't it be interesting if we actually took the facts? Here's the bill, and they read the sections of it. Here it is. Here's what page it is. Here's what it says. Tell me, because there's all these exceptions. Yes, you've got the statement that there's no welfare, but then you have all these exceptions. And everybody qualifies for the exceptions. If you're breathing, you qualify for the exception. So, sure, write a note up here. They cannot get, will not be eligible for welfare, blah, blah, blah. They accept. And then let's read all the exceptions, which prove Rubio is just full of stuff. Rubio is full of nasty stuff. And that was, like I said, I did not listen to any news to speak of over this weekend. I was hoping to get some information on the whistleblowers, on what they said today, but I don't have any information. So if anybody wants to call in and talk about what they heard from the whistleblowers, that would be good. And the other is the White House occupier was down there in Mexico. And the nerve of him to blame Mexico's problems on America. I mean, what are these people thinking? Here, NAFTA goes and shifts all these jobs down to Mexico. They still come here. And now it's because Americans have used too many drugs is why there's the drug cartel. You know, it's the Americans who just force those Mexicans to sell drugs and to smuggle them into the country. To be part of that cartel myth. It's the Americans who made them do it. This is what the White House occupier says. Every American should be disgusted and outraged by it. Yes, I'd be happy if more Americans would stay off the drugs, not abuse alcohol, not abuse prescription drugs. I think that would be good for all of us. But to go and say it's because of the American people, the drug cartel in Mexico is the fault of the American people. That's sick. And that's what this White House occupier is. He's sick. He's a treasonous traitor. But then look what he's got in the two houses of Congress next to him. And then the other part, for him to go out there and say that the violence in Mexico is because of American guns. The Mexican people are being killed with American guns. But he never talks about Fast and Furious, where he got an American killed. He never talks about that part. And where's the media on all this? Do they not have anything to say? Can they not report at least part of the truth? It's unbelievable. Well, and we'll see. His trip to Mexico, I believe, was today. I'm not sure when a little bit of these clips I was hearing about him and the drugs and the guns down in Mexico and how Americans have destroyed Mexico. Everything that's wrong with the country of Mexico is all because of the American people. This is what this idiot is saying. So I heard these couple of clips, and I'm sure I'll hear a little bit more tonight after the show when I do actually go listen to some news. I'll see what else I can find out on that. But the nerve of them. So disgusting, and then you just look around, it's like, this just is not. What happened to the United States of America? What happened to the Constitution? Do we really have a Constitution anymore? Is it just a figment of our imagination? Declaration of Independence, what does that mean today? I don't know. It's all very alarming to me. The other thing I was going to mention, and I started to talk about this at the very beginning of the show, but I said, let me go through some of these things first. There's going to come a time, I've been talking to you kind of about this since the beginning of the year, that there will be a point where I'm going to get to tell you the true story, the true story of how I have been the victim of the system as well. And it's going to be a doozy when I finally get to talk about it. The only thing I will say, it's in reference to how much fraud we have, how much fraud is in the state of Florida. The things I have learned, notary fraud, when you think about everything, I mean, we've all heard about identity theft, property theft, and mortgage fraud. But you always seem, you figure there's something else at play here. And the majority of us don't think the notaries play a part in it. How many people truly think the notary is such a piece of this fraud that's going on? The public officer of the state who's given a commission by the state and the authority to notarize legal documents, to witness legal documents. And you just don't, you trust that person. But I am telling you what I have learned since January of this year, you are not going to believe it. Is absolutely amazing, and it gets bigger and bigger every day. And so, unfortunately, I still can't really get into the nitty-gritty of it, except to say that in the state of Florida, and we had a show, we had Thomas Pastore, who did a lot of the research. He really did most of the research for me when I was facing the situation, and we started digging into what was going on here. The fact is, anybody in the state of Florida can be a notary. I mean, there's really no qualifications. And you fill out an application. Even if you say you're not a resident, you can say you plan to make it your domicile or some stupid statement like that, and then you can be a notary. And then if you see someone die, if you're aware that somebody has died, and you're not aware that maybe there's no will recorded at the courthouse or whatever else, go out there and dream up a will. Notarize a will. Get a few friends together. And create wills and put them out there. And the state does nothing. The state doesn't want to be bothered. And I'm probably saying too much to even say that. But I'm telling you, you're just not going to believe how bad this is. And I heard a lot of it when Tom Pastore was on the show a couple weeks back talking about here in Florida. Again, it's a revenue stream for the state of Florida, these applications. And that's the other sick part of this. When you think in the state of Florida, which I can't remember what the exact population is in the state of Florida, I won't claim to say that, but do you truly think we need 500,000 notary publics in the state of Florida? Because we've got almost 500,000 notaries. And they're not even required to keep a journal of their transactions. Just imagine that. And so if anything gets disputed that's been notarized, you have no case because there's nothing there. These people just go around stamping whatever they want to, giving their stamp to whoever they want to, let somebody else use their stamp. There is no control. There isn't any. That's what it is right now. I am the witness of it. Trust me, I haven't told you anything of what this truly has become. But you will get the story. At some point, you will get the full story. Some of my friends who know a little bit more about what's all going on and who have helped me with some of the research and the stuff that's been going on with it, they're telling me I should write a book. I said, well, is it going to be a book? Should I make it a documentary or should I make it a sitcom? Because if it wasn't so disgusting, this would be laughable. It truly would be laughable. It's so disgusting what's happening now. And it's such a reflection of everything else. And when they say all government's local, you go and you see this happening here, and then you just realize this is what it is across the board. This is why we have no principles. The moral values of this country doesn't exist. We don't the principles. The evilness has taken over. The communist mentality has taken over. Not with all of us, but there's an awful lot of us. We should all be very concerned. We really should. Excuse me. Well, that was pretty much the wrap-up of the general stuff I was going to talk about tonight, because, like I said, the last couple of days I have been kind of busy and haven't really had a whole lot of time to do anything, but I did want to kind of just get out there. I was going to take a look at some of my quotes. I love to go through the quotes of the Founding Fathers. they have so many things, and they understood so well here because they were breaking away from King George. They understood, and they wrote, they did their best to try to protect us, but you can't protect a person from themselves. And if the American people are negligent and just say, sure, I trust you, I elected you, go do what you want, and don't stay engaged in the process, you end up exactly where we're at now. So let's see, this was John Adams. Because power corrupts, society's demand for moral authority and character increases as the importance of the position increases. No truer words. Before I go any further here, okay, I see Damn Mad Granny Taff is out there. She's feeding her face and listening at the same time. Well, that's good. Rolling on the floor. Well, when you're ready to get into this conversation, you just let me know. You go out there and ping me and get on that line, and we'll let you put your words of wisdom for the day out there. Let's see here. Excuse me. Let's see. Let's go back to more of John Adams' quotes. I can get to that list. Okay. This is all, right now we're just going through some of John Adams, and then we'll switch over to some of the others. Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or our dictates of our passions, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. Well, and I... They can't alter the facts, but it's amazing how many times those in power ignore the facts. Don't confuse them with the facts. They have their own agenda, and the facts mean nothing to them. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to government of any other, to the government of any other. You cannot be a free society without a moral and religious society. And that's where we're at right now. We have had such a decline in the moral values of people. And it's not a matter of whether you go to church every Sunday. It's a matter of having beliefs of a great creator and what people are supposed to do for each other. Is it really the responsibility to surrender your responsibility to the government to give you food stamps? Or should you be responsible for being a productive citizen, while at the same time understanding that everybody or many people will suffer some kind of tragic situation, disaster, catastrophe, whatever, and need the help of their community. And the community should pull together. It was something Glenn Beck said earlier, and I've said it something similar to it in the past, but he was really focusing on it. And it's so true. Charity, it's not charity if it's a tax break. You know, these people with money who act like they give so much and they do so much for their community, they only do it because it gets them the tax break. And by doing the way they do it, they are buying influence in various organizations. So they're not truly being as generous as it seems like. They're buying influence and power in an organization, whatever organization it may be, and they're getting tax breaks. So instead of the money going into the general fund like you and I pay, they're putting it into another fund that they control. So when truly, and Glenn Beck didn't say this, but I will say it, charities should not be deductible. It's not charity if it's a tax break. It's just not the way it is. I don't get to go and donate money and take control of various community organizations because I have a lot of money like they do, and I don't get a tax break for it. So when I donate money, which isn't as much, to the Salvation Army, guess what? I don't get any tax break. Let's see here. Democracy, while it lasts, is more bloody than either aristocracy or monarchy. I can't talk today. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There is never a democracy that did not commit suicide. That's why we are a republic, a democracy within a republic. The republic was supposed to control so we don't commit suicide, but we truly have, because we've lost our way, we've lost the mentality of state sovereignty, because that's what we're supposed to be, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We're not there anymore. Okay, power always thinks that it's doing God's service when it's violating all of his laws. I like that. That one's an interesting one. Power always thinks that it is doing God's service when it is violating all of his laws. And then, all of their perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects in their Constitution or Confederation, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. Isn't that the truth? Called the Federal Reserve? The ignorance of the average person on money, the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. That is so true. Wonder what he would think about the Federal Reserve. Remember, democracies never last long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy that did not commit suicide. That's similar to the other one. Okay, let's see here. There is danger from all men. The only maximum of free government ought to be to trust no man living with power to endanger the public liberty. I must study politics and war that my sons may have liberty to study mathematics and philosophy. The Hebrews have done more to civilize man than any other nation. If I were an atheist and I believed blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations. That's interesting. I really like this one. The happiness of society is the end of government. Okay. And that one I just read, because power corrupts. Okay, let us tenderly and kindly cherish, therefore, the means of knowledge. Let us dare to read, think, and speak, and write. Fear is the foundation of most governments. Isn't that so true today? Fear is the foundation of most governments. Look at what this government has become out of the games that it plays and the fear that it puts in people. The Patriot Act was all based on fear. Department of Homeland Security is all based on fear. And so I think it was Franklin who said, you give up your liberty for security, you will have neither. Okay, let's see. Power always thinks it has a great soul and vast views beyond the comprehension of the weak. That's kind of interesting. Okay, liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. That is Common Core. Common Core wants to defeat that. Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Common Core wants to take away the general knowledge. And see, the Founding Fathers understood people have to have knowledge. Knowledge is power. You can't control people who know stuff. You can't control people with knowledge the same way you could an ignorant society. Okay, let's see. Next here. Old minds. Now, damn mad Granny Taft, I'm not saying this about you now, okay? Old minds are like old horses. You must exercise them if you wish to keep them in working order. This is John Adams who said this, not me. I'm waiting for a comment out there on that one. We'll see. I'll give you a minute to put your comment out there in the chat room. Okay. When the people talk of freedom of writing, speaking, or thinking, I cannot choose but laugh. No such thing ever existed. No such thing now exists, but I hope it will exist. But it must be hundreds of years after you and I shall write and speak no more. Staten Island's both had a weird sense of humor. And let's see, what's this one here? Okay. I always consider the settlement of America with reverence and wonder as the opening of a grand scene and design of a providence for the illumination of the ignorant, elimination of the ignorant and the emancipation of the slaverish part of mankind all over the earth. That's nice. Okay. I have accepted a seat in the House of Representatives, and thereby have consented to my own ruin, to your ruin, and to the ruin of our children. I give you this warning that you may prepare your mind for your fate. I guess that John Adams, I guess, did have kind of a weird sense of humor. The right of a nation to kill a tyrant in case of necessity can no more be doubted than to hang a robber or kill a flea. Tyrants. Doesn't that kind of make you think of a few people right now? I think we have a very tyrannical government. Okay, the fundamental law of the militia is that it be created, directed, and commanded by the laws and ever for the support of the laws. That is, when you think about it, the Second Amendment, it talks about the militia. The states are supposed to have militias. Why did the states cave in on this one? How did we get into the National Guard mentality where, once again, the federal government takes over these pieces of stuff? The states should have a militia. That's what they should, and that's why they have it, to protect and support the laws. A government of laws and not of men. No truer words there. But, you know, again, based on what I've had, my own recent experiences and things we've all seen in the past few years, the past, 10 years at least, where the rule of law, if you have enough money, you can buy whatever justice you want. The rule of law truly means nothing. It has come to mean nothing. What we see happen at the Supreme Court, what we see happen in the local courts, a government of laws and not of men. Well, right now we have it the other way around. Government of men, not of laws, men and women. In politics, the middle way is none at all. And isn't that true, too, when we talk about compromise? In politics, the middle way is none at all. And doesn't that just ring true to all the stuff you hear about compromise, compromise? And I'm like, wait a minute, compromise? It's one thing to reach an agreement, but you must stand by your principles. If you can't stand by, if you have to surrender your principles, then you're not doing anything, you're not doing the right thing. To me, I mean, that's my own take on it. Okay, great is the guilt of an unnecessary war. Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war. How does that relate to what we've been doing in the last few years? And how does that relate to so many things Ron Paul has said over the years? Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war. How many unnecessary wars have we been party to that we, in fact, were the ones who triggered? The war on terror, yes, we have the right to defend our country, but I truly don't think we're defending the homeland. We can't stop the invasion of the homeland. So, you know, when the war on terror, I don't know that that's what we've been doing. Oh, I see she's out there. I knew she wasn't going to be able to keep quiet too long, so I guess you're telling me you finished eating your dinner. And on that note, let's go ahead and get Granny, damn mad Granny Taft on the phone here. Hey, Ms. Texas.
Hey, Miss Sally. Yeah, my elbow. I quit bending my elbow so my mouth fly open, so I got time to talk now.
Okay.
Oh, I tell you what. Between Obama going PBS, I have to listen to the fact that Obama's going over there and sucking up to the Mexicans. Mexicans can't. They've been Mexico for hundreds of years. And they have not developed that country. And this man goes over there and tells them that it is America's fault that they're in the shape they're in. What rock did he crawl out from under?
I'm telling you, I was so annoyed when I heard this clip. And I'm like, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of outrage most people have, or if the media does anything like it usually doesn't do.
Media is not going to do anything about it. The media already hadn't done anything about it. I mean, he goes over there and Mexico, what the media said I heard, Mexico can't survive without the money that the illegals send back over to Mexico. In other words, we're not only from our Federal Reserve handing money to Mexico, we the taxpayers are handing money to Mexico via Western Union.
That and NAFTA.
Well, yeah, NAFTA too. But, you know, and they can't survive. Give me a break.
Well, exactly. If they can't survive, it's their problem, not ours.
That's it. And, again, I'm going to say, I don't know why in the hell they just don't stay home and clean up their own damn mess instead of coming over here and creating more for me, for us. Now, do I sound prejudiced? Yeah, I am. I'm prejudiced in the fact I'm an American. I was born here. This is my country. And I am prejudiced that we have the right to determine who should come into this country and who shouldn't.
Exactly. If you can't be a sovereign nation if you don't have a border.
That's it.
You can't. And we don't have any borders right now. That's why I say it's been a silent invasion of legal and illegal immigration, with the legal people coming in legally and then never leaving and doing the other things. And then, of course, the illegals who just come in over the border.
And
massive. Yeah,
you know, I had to listen to that. Then, because I don't have cable and any of that other stuff, I only have the local channels and PBS to go to. Well, I know that PBS is a part of the One World Nation thing now. They've changed their color scheme. If you pay any attention to some of the programs they do, they're there full-blown trying to brainwash people into sustainable development and how nature needs to be left alone and we need to bring the animal count back up to what it used to be, blah, 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 blah. But I happened to stop on this other on this one news channel type thing, and they were talking about Cinco de Mayo, which, by the way, where I'm at, it's disgusting, and where you're at, disgusting. People across the other country, they just think it's cute. Well, they ought to come down here and be cuted to death with this Mexican shit. Pardon my French. But they're talking about Cinco de Mayo, and then they go off and start talking about the War of Montezuma. Do you know about the War of Montezuma?
Gosh, yes, I do, but I tell you, I wouldn't be able to give a history class on it.
Okay, well, they gave a history class on it. And this is what I have heard a lot of Mexicans say. They hate us because we took their land from them.
Right.
And I thought they were talking about San Antonio. Well, they get this supposed well-known historian on there who is a progressive from the get-go who is talking about this. We had a president named Polk who was greedy land-wise. He wanted more land. He wanted to enlarge the size of America. So he decided he would start a war with Mexico in order to push the boundaries of the United States further into Mexico and take the land away from them. So we had this big war of 18, I don't remember the years, 18-something, 1850-something or around that, or in that area, in which we beat the Mexicans, and that's when this second half of Texas, Texas had originally, according to their map, only came down as far as about where San Antonio is. But they enlarged Texas to there, and that's when we got New Mexico and Arizona and California. It spread out west to there. And that the reason, and that it's all our fault because of that president, and that the Mexicans feel like this is their land, and they shouldn't have to pay to come over to live in this country.
Yes, and yeah, the I keep thinking about the music, the battle hymn, whatever you want to call it.
And
you hear all
well,
the
yeah, from the Halls of Montezuma, that's used.
Right.
I forget what it is, Marines or something.
Yeah. Yep.
That,
and I was seeing one thing out there that said 1805. Was that when it started? Because were these
it may
be.
I knew it was 1800s. I just went ballistic. It's a good thing that I don't react on my impulses because I wanted to strangle that woman. And the guy sitting there who says, it's all America's fault that the Mexicans hate us like they do because we took their land. Well,
oh my goodness.
My answer to that is that's over 200 years ago. Get over it.
And we didn't take it. We fought for it.
Well, and I'm tired of them playing this guilt trip. In other words, they did that with the Civil War. They've guilted Southerners into trying to make them feel guilty for what we didn't create the monster. And actually, they're blaming it on Americans for creating the monsters. The first slave traders were the Spaniards.
That's right. People don't. When it comes right down to all the true details of slavery and everything else, there's so much misinformation out there.
Well,
and
the point is, this was so long ago. That was the way they lived back then. That's where their mindset was. That was the way they lived. We have evolved. And maybe the thing in the 60s was necessary to stop the to promote integration into schools. And in one way, that was a good thing. I grew up, I wasn't afraid of blacks. We had a black lady that came into the house and babysat while my mother worked, and I loved that lady to death. And I have plenty of black friends now. But with integration, they also stopped educating the kids. Because the blacks weren't getting the education that the whites were getting, so in order that they wouldn't get left behind, they stopped educating the white kids and made everything so simple and so easy. Now kids don't even want to go to school.
Well, everything, you know, the culture changed when that all happened, and the issues, I can only imagine when you think of what really happens in a cultural change of such magnitude, what it takes to actually change attitudes across the board. But you think about right now today, it's nothing to do with race today. It's the mentality, which it kind of, to me, it might be a spinoff of what was happening then, but the mentality today is you can't tell a child that they failed. There's this mentality you can't say anything bad, that the child didn't do good on something, or they're in a competition and they all have to win. And so everybody is brought down because you're not anybody excels is kept from you're no longer the kids are no longer allowed to excel. They're kept down because everybody has to win.
Well,
everybody
that part of it I don't think integration had anything to do with. We can thank the psychologists for that one. You know, we had a few years there where every time you turned on the TV, you had damn psychologists telling you how to raise your kids.
Right.
That didn't come from integration. That
well,
came
let me just,
shock.
Okay, just a step back here a minute. I went ahead and pulled up the Mexican-American War from the Rio Grande to the Halls of Montezuma was 1846 to 1848 is what they have here.
Okay.
And so, and the United States Marines raised the American flag over Mexico City, the Halls of Montezuma, on September 14th, 1847, thus ending one of the nation's most successful and controversial wars.
Right.
And, yeah, go ahead.
So, and I have heard before that they were being taught how bad the Americans were to them in Mexico. And I was wondering, that now I understand the attitude.
Well, it kind of ties into the mentality of the Alamo routine, too. But, you know, when it comes to Cinco de Mayo, the celebration of the Mexican people killing Americans, I just don't understand. And Rubio, good old, people need to remember, it was Rubio who went out there and got some kind of resolution to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but he would not do it for the Alamo.
Well, is it isn't Cinco de Mayo doesn't even have anything to do with Americans? Wasn't that they won a war with France?
No.
I thought that's where Cinco de Mayo came from. It hadn't even got anything to do with Americans.
No, that's not the history I have on it.
Well, I was thinking that's what it was. That's one reason that friend of yours is so against it, because it hasn't got anything to do with America. It's a war they fought with another country.
Well, I think my understanding is some of the French, I think, may have gotten into it, but it was here in the U.S.
Because I had never heard of it before. They didn't teach anything about Cinco de Mayo when I went to school here in Texas. They taught about the Alamo. But I think if it had been a war here in the U.S., we'd have been taught about it. That's before, you know, they quit teaching history.
Cinco de Mayo history. I've seen a couple of different things on this. Okay. Cinco de Mayo, Spanish Day, in celebration held on May 5th. It is celebrated in the United States and regionally in Mexico, primarily in the state of, and of course we know what state that's going to be. If I open the whole thing up. State of Pablo, where the holiday is called, well, forget it, I can't say that stuff. I don't speak Spanish. Okay. It originated with the Mexican-American communities in the American West as a way to commemorate the cause of freedom and democracy during the first years of the American Civil War. And today it's observed in the United States with a celebration of Mexican heritage and pride. And here it does say Mexican armies. The Mexican Army's unlikely victory over French forces in the Battle of Pueblo.
Yeah.
In 1862.
That's what Cinco de Mayo is.
Yep.
It hasn't even got anything to do with U.S.
Yep. Yep, that's what it's got in here. But I just think it's interesting that they will celebrate Cinco de Mayo,
now,
but Rubio wouldn't do anything for the Alamo.
Do we celebrate the Alamo? No.
But Glenn Beck mentioned it at the NRA, his keynote speech. He was talking about it.
Well, when they have what's called the Battle of Roses or Battle of Flowers Parade in San Antonio, they just had it last week or week before last. And that came a week after they had a small, quiet ceremony in front of the Alamo for when we won our independence. Well, I think
right.
We ought to just party like hell.
Why not? I think so, too. Hey, I think that's a bigger deal than Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But again, and this, I don't know if you heard me when I was talking about immigration, how the GOP just has to do it. This crazy mentality that the GOP has to embrace the Hispanics. I said, this is so sick. Wait a minute. You have to embrace Hispanics and trash the Americans.
Well, I just shake my head when I hear that crap, because I didn't know an illegal immigrant could vote any damn way. But if they pass this bill that they're planning on passing or going to try to pass, this immigration thing, they'll be able to vote. Obama's going to let them vote.
Yeah, they will. All this other crap about citizenship and all, it's all a farce. It's all crap. It's all BS. I'm telling you, I would love for Jeff Sessions to debate Rubio. You want to know the truth of what's in that thing? Put those two guys out there and debating it, and you'll find out.
Well, this other group that I belong to, ALIPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration, PAC, have an email here, and they're talking about a bill that was brought up and brought into before Congress during the night. Of course, they didn't want us to hear anything about it. It's Bill S. Where is it? S-744, which is another amnesty bill. So if we wouldn't pass that other one, they're going to try and pass this one. And 10 to 1, this is the one that they're talking about on TV, they're talking about the bill is coming back through. Well, no, it's not the same bill. It's a different bill.
What's the number of it again?
S, which means it's a Senate bill, number 744.
Okay.
It would provide amnesty for illegal aliens, amnesty for their associated crimes, amnesty for the employers of illegal immigrants, as well, according to a study of legislation conducted by Dr. Arnold Mortensen, a fellow of the Center of Immigration Studies, found that illegal immigrants would be granted amnesty for their Social Security fraud, identity theft, perjury on I-9 forms, existing deportation and removal orders, and from current law requiring illegals to return home for 10 years. I mean, they're just going to wipe everything off the books.
Wow. Totally outrageous. It's just totally nuts, though.
And so earlier you asked, are we going to rise up and are we going to do something about this? And Sally, I sit at night and I sit on my front porch and I look at the stars in the sky and I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't see it happening, think of what our country was like prior to Obama election. Prior to Obama election.
Uh-huh.
And look at everything that has changed. Everything that has changed since the day he took office.
But a lot of it started before him.
I understand that. It started before him, but he has brought what they talk about like the ball to a head.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's those that say he was selected for this.
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff, you know, that he was the chosen one, if you will, to make
right.
all this come to the head. And that's what is happening. But, I mean, when it comes to, like, Common Core, that is nothing to do but the Bushes. The Bushes and the Bill Gates mentality, but it's, you know, Bush, the Bush family and their communism, they're the ones who really started that. And they were such big players. I don't think people really appreciate how much the Bushes were really the ones who created and generated all this crap with Agenda 21, One World Order, the New World Order stuff, how they were the instigators of it. And then they gave it so much power to spread.
Well, Grandpa Bush, or the first Bush, he's the one who originally signed us on to it. Prior to that, the U.S. was talking about getting out of the U.N., stopping funding the U.N.
Uh-huh.
It never happened. But he signed on, and then here came old Clinton. Clinton did the same damn thing.
Yep.
And now you
yep.
got Hillary that's out there, and she's dancing up, and she's getting all prepared. She's going to be the next president.
Well, and if the Republican Party's dumb enough to keep pushing Rubio, there she's going to have it.
Well, I don't know that Rubio's going to be pushed because there's enough people fussing about him and his change in his stance on amnesty thing. I don't know about that, but I do know the Republican Party's got to wake up and realize they can get behind it. They can go out there and kiss the butts of Mexicans all they want to, and they can get them in all they want to vote. But it doesn't make any damn difference because the Democrats and the Republicans, there's no difference between the two of them anymore.
There really isn't.
Because
yeah.
if there was a difference, they wouldn't be worried about sucking up to the Mexicans because not every Mexican out there will vote Democrat like the illegals have. And we know that our election was not, it was rigged. We know our election was rigged. Obama probably didn't even win the damn election. So nothing's going
yeah.
to change. It doesn't matter how much the Republican Party sucks up to a bunch of damn people that can't vote.
Well, exactly. But you know, of course, that's why they're pushing Rubio, because he's a Hispanic, not because of and the whole games that they play with him. But, I mean, even when I still listen, I mean, I hear I'll say Fox News, the so-called conservative side, They seem to tone down a little bit on Rubio, but I still don't see them backing off from him. And after seeing what they did with Romney in that last election, I think they'll still push Rubio out there. To their own demise, but, you know.
Well, they're wanting to shut Ted Cruz up. Now, and I'm going to have to say, from what I've heard of Cruz, and he's gotten more time with the news media than any Republican has, and now they're trying to quiet him down. The man is doing what he said he would do. He's defending our Constitution. And that's one reason now the backers, Soros and the rest of them, are pushing Rubio. They're trying to drown out Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Yep, I can see that happening. And, of course, they're obviously trying to totally avoid Rand Paul.
Because they also asked Cruz if he was considering running for president.
Right.
Now, since when do we elect first term anything to president? I think it happened with Obama, didn't it?
Yep. That was him. One term in the Senate.
I mean, the man had never written a damn law, and he still hadn't written a law. He hadn't written anything. He had somebody behind him writing it because he ain't got snap enough to do it.
Yeah, was he in the Senate, the state Senate in Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he was in that Senate, didn't do anything there either. So then they bounced him up to the U.S. Senate to do nothing there.
Right.
To abstain from voting. So he couldn't say he voted for or against anything. He just abstained from voting. He just sat there like a whatever.
Right. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I keep saying, where in the hell can I move to? I think I'm going to Alabama.
Well, I've debated whether I'm going to leave the country altogether or where I'm going to end up.
Well, no, you don't want to leave the country because there ain't no place any better off than we are. Australia's ate up with one world crap right now. They've turned in their guns.
That's
like
right.
A bunch of fools.
And they're telling, don't do it. Don't do it, America. Don't do it.
So, and the reason I'm saying Alabama is Alabama has passed laws to stop some of Obama's crap from coming into the state. They passed laws against having any foreign laws like Sharia law and so forth being considered in their state. They passed a law in their state against that. They passed a law, I forget what all they passed laws on, but every one of them I said the state of Texas needs. So that's why I'm thinking Alabama.
Yeah, there's been a couple of states that have been doing stuff against Common Core, too. I don't know which states were doing what. I'd have to go look.
Right.
There's been a movement to do that. And I think, you know, I really do have some faith that something's going to happen with Obamacare because it's because even the Democrats now see, gosh, look how much this is costing me. Look what this is doing to our citizens, our constituents. All of a sudden they're realizing that they never read before because they wouldn't read the bill first. Wow, look what this is doing. So between immigration, giving all these freebies to immigration to the illegals, and then what it's already costing this, I'm hoping that the two kind of actually bring each other down. And there is a lot more talk out there, right, with a lot of Democrats are actually coming to not like Obamacare.
Well, wait till they hear the latest. I heard on the on TV today, that or was on TV. Anyway, the FDA or the people over the health system has totally changed their opinion on when men should be tested for CRS just set in. What is a cancer that men get?
Prostate cancer.
Yeah, prostate cancer. They have completely reversed their stance on prostate cancer. And whether or not if men should be treated if they're found to have prostate cancer. And listen to this one. It rolls right in to Obama's health care. if you're at the age of 50 and they determine that you may have prostate cancer, then you need to, in other words, they don't want them to have surgery.
Right.
Now, what does that sound like?
It's health care rationing.
It's the death panel.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah. They're going to decide who lives and who dies. At a certain age, you're not qualified for it.
If you're 50 or older, they don't want you to have surgery for it.
Right. Yeah, they're determined that you're too old to the expense isn't worth it, and you're too old, so you're not going to get it. And, I mean, that's what, as my father, you know, he was in his 80s. He's 82 when he passed away. But we would talk about that the last couple of years. It's like, you know what? When this all fully kicks in, they won't pay for my dialysis. They won't pay for this stuff. He won't have any health care. He would be he'd be deemed too old for it.
I know. But we tried to tell people this.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't want to believe it. Well, pay attention, because he's slowly getting this crap put into place. And they started with the men. He tried starting with the women with the abortion thing and all that. They stubbed their toe on that one. So they came back now and they're starting on the men, because the men are going to be dumbasses and sit out there and keep their mouth shut about it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And, I don't know. The whole thing is just so depressing. It's so depressing to see our country die right in front of us, because that's what's happening.
Alabama also passed a thing. They weren't going to take Obamacare either.
Yeah.
And they haven't taken any of his money.
Exactly. And I think that's what it's all about. But, you know, look what Rick Scott is. I mean, you know, give me a break. And these are supposed to be the Republicans who are supposed to be such a force out there, because there were so many Republican governors. And most of them have Chris Christie up there. Look at what he turned out to be.
Well, we know that these people who are calling themselves Republicans aren't Republicans. They were Democrats that couldn't get elected as Democrats, so they ran on the Republican ticket.
Yep.
They talked the talk, but now they're not walking the walk.
There was one email I got through, because they were saying, well, if Rubio is not going to be the chosen one for 2016 for president, and we won't talk about the fact that he's not eligible, but, you know, the rhetoric that he, you know, if he doesn't do that he would be running for re-election as a for Senate, and with basically nobody contesting him, you know, and this is the mentality again of the Republican Party. No one's going to run against him, because we've already told everybody else not to run, but he'll be running against Charlie Crist, who was a Democrat and then a Republican and then a Democrat. So we'll end up with Charlie Crist up there as well, end up happening.
And see what I'm talking about? He was a Democrat, and then he was a Republican, and now he's a Democrat again.
Yeah, they just run under whatever party they think they get elected. It doesn't has nothing to do with the principles or values of what they believe in.
It's all
to do with what they think they can get elected as. And I mean, I remember when I ran for Orange County Mayor, which was a nonpartisan race, a county race. I said, yeah, but if you run as a Democrat, that you'll get elected.
Right.
And there's a certain truth to it that probably would have been, because of the way people vote, it was me with this other Republican, and because the OCREC, the Orange County Republican Executive Committee, was just a bunch of rhino club itself. They all circled around behind the anti-conservative, which is what they have done. I've never seen that Republican Executive Committee actually promote the conservative candidate. They always promote the other one, because that's where they think they're going to get their goodies and their money and everything else locally.
Well, that's because we've got a bunch of Democrats hiding behind the Republican name, sitting on the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
They're all bought and paid for.
Exactly. Rhino land to the max. So,
I'm reading here this S-44 bill would be it would instantly gut the popular E-Verify system that would widely used to exclude illegal immigrants from jobs and then create an enforcement gap for several years before the arrival of a replacement system. There's no doubt that the bill eliminates E-Verify immediately upon signing. Well, imagine Obama wants that to happen, because if we ran him through E-Verify, he wouldn't pass the test.
Exactly. Not the truth. I'm trying to find this bill, and I can't find it out there. I don't know why I can't. Okay, wait a minute. Here we go. This, let's see. Keep talking while I'm trying to look this up.
So okay. And let's see. Fox News and the Center of Immigration Studies are reporting S-744 allows for up to $150 million of our tax dollars to go to organizations like La Raza, MALDEF, LULAC, and their hundreds of affiliates to advertise citizenship opportunities to help illegal immigrants sign up to become citizens.
Okay,
a friend of mine who does tax returns every year told me a couple of years ago about how illegal immigrants who haven't paid one damn dime of money into our tax system are getting refunds from a federal government every year. And it's being done, and the federal government knows about it. Well, if you remember, I think it was last week that the feds announced they paid out, I forget how many, they pay over $1 billion in refunds to people who weren't eligible to get the refunds.
Yeah, unearned income credit. These people who didn't earn anything and didn't put anything into it get money back.
That's these illegal immigrants. And what they're doing is they go down and get this green card, so they're calling it. It's not. They can go down to the Social Security office.
Right.
And the Social Security office will give them a green card. All they have to do is bring one of their friends in that will test and lie for them to get this green card. And then they use this green card to go down and collect unearned income and get tax refunds at tax time. That monster was created by, was it the first George W. Bush, or was that the monster created by, who was before Bush?
Reagan. Reagan had the first amnesty.
It was created by Reagan.
Yep, his first amnesty thing.
Right.
Just so for everybody listening, I finally did find this bill. The full name of this thing, which you may have said it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again, this full crazy name of this S-744, Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act, introduced in the Senate. I love this when they say Immigration Modernization
Act. Asian.
Yeah, right. It's a bunch of garbage. And there's... I'm looking through the thing, and it says effective date triggers. I want to see what this says in it. I don't know if you can see anything on that on yours.
No, it doesn't have. It's just highlighting everything that's wrong with the bill for us to contact our Congress and our Senate with. Talking points.
Well, this is the actual bill itself, and we all know how that's what it's like to try and read these things the way they do them. So I'm not sure how much I'm going to actually... It says effective date triggers, but I wasn't catching anything at a glance, so I'd have to study it for 2 hours to figure out what they're saying there. Statement of Congressional Findings, Southern Border Security Commission. Southern Border Security Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Establishment. The Secretary certifies that the Department has not achieved effective control in all high-risk border sectors during any fiscal year beginning before the date that is 5 years after the date of the enactment of this act, not later than 60 days after the date of the certification, there shall be established a commission to be known as the Southern Border Security Commission, referred to in this section as commission. Two members shall be appointed by the president. Great. two members who shall be appointed by the president pro tempore of the Senate, of which, and then it goes into some other nonsense here, four members consisting of one member from each of the states along the southern borders, who shall be the governor of each state, appointed by the governor, whatever. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Travel expenses. Members of the commission shall be allowed travel expenses, including per diem in lieu of substance rates. Well, it's kind of weird calling it that, but anyway. Authorized by employees of agencies under subchapter 1, one of chapter 57, title 57, U.S. Code, blah, blah, blah. You know, how these things read.
See, this bill was just entered May the 6th. It was just entered. This bill was just entered into Congress in the last week or so. I heard about it on the news. They said they had, during the dead of night, that crew of eight or gang of eight are the ones that wrote another bill that they're pushing.
Yeah. Well, this one here says legislative date was April 16th of 2013, so that would be about right from when we would hear from it.
Right.
And then there's another piece of it called Comprehensive Immigration Reform Trust Fund, another trust fund that we can't trust. I mean, give me a break, you know.
Well, you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm scratching my head and I'm not going to say the rest of it. And I'm asking myself, if the Constitution says that Obama can be impeached for not protecting our borders, why in the hell are we having to sit here and even discuss this?
Well, that's my point earlier. So there's so much treason going on here, but then you have two houses of Congress that are nothing but treasonous, too. Because Obama shouldn't either. Obama could be charged with so much treason, it's not funny, but you've got the two houses of Congress that do their own treason, so they're not going to do anything.
Well, I sent Sheriff Joe a piece of mail the other day. And I asked him why, if I remember when he did his thing on Obama, and there's not a doubt in my mind that everything he's presented is true and correct. Why hasn't he and his posse gone to the White House and arrested him?
Well, and I've often wondered about that too, except he made
it. We can't buy it. Nobody else is going to do it.
Right. And I keep hoping he will. Who knows? I don't know.
So my question is, if he knows this, then why hasn't he done this instead of waiting for someone else to do it? These people that spent all this money and all these courts and everything out there to come up against these judges that have all been bought off, you know, and they can't even interpret the Constitution. And the lawyers are making, you know, we're paying Obama's lawyers for this crap. And it's just mind-boggling.
It really
is. That this country has sat back on our laurels and we're willing to let this country go down the tubes. And that's just what it's looking like we're doing.
It is. It's going to be the uprising of the middle class that's going to make a difference. And if we don't get those people to do it, then it's over. Because you got all these treasonous people. Obama could have been impeached in his first term a long time ago if they had the courage to do it. But look at the treason that goes on throughout the whole thing. And on that note, before I go any further on that, I want to read. Well, I pulled up this trust fund for this Senate Bill 744. Initial funding, the initial funding is $6.5 billion, shall be transferred from the general fund of the Treasury to the trust fund, $6.5 billion to start. Startup cost, well, wait a minute, that's the funding then. Then it says startup cost on a later date of the enactment of it. It's another $100 million there. And then ongoing funding, electronic travel authorization system, J-1 visa mitigation fees, H-1B visa fees, L-1 visa fees, H-2B visa fees, F-1 visa fees, visitor visa fees, merit system green card fees, other aliens, an alien who was allocated a visa under Section 211 shall pay a fee of $1,500, penalty, H-1B visa, non-immigrant dependent employer's fees, H-1B visa outplacement fees, L, non-immigrant dependent employer fees, retiree visa fees, non-immigrant performing maintenance and common carriers. I mean, and try to go and figure out what each one of these stupid things means is a whole other story. And then $3 billion shall be made available to the secretary during the five-year period beginning the date of the enactment of this act to carry out the comprehensive southern border security strategy. I mean, oh, my God. And this, yeah, people ought to take a look at this one.
And we're broke.
And we're broke. Yep.
I mean, save all that damn money. We've already got laws on the books. Just enforce them.
Wouldn't it be nice if they just enforced the law?
You know, put some money towards more border patrol and get more people down there on those damn borders and enforce the damn laws. Oh, that's right, though. The illegals that can't vote, that they want their vote, might decide to take their happy asses home.
That's right. We don't have, I mean, the whole thing is such a crock, and it truly is the silent invasion of this country. It's through immigration, legal and illegal, that they have allowed the takeover of this country. It's and again, that's treason, and by everybody who participates in it, they are guilty of the treason. Any of them that put up with it and tolerate and vote for it, they are also guilty of treason. It's that simple, in my book. We are down to 4 minutes. God, this last half hour went fast.
Wonder why.
I don't know. What do you think?
Where's Charlie been? Where's Charlie?
Charlie had gone, he had traveled some out of state, and then he got back, and he's still doing some things, but he was listening earlier, but he didn't talk any earlier. He just hasn't been doing as much. He's been more focusing on other things that he can try to make some changes on.
I understand.
I just wanted
to check in on him. So
I told him he needs to call in. People are asking about him.
Well, I don't know. If you're listening, go to Alipac, ALIPAC.com, and look at the work they're doing. If you don't want to have to go march or you don't want to have to do this and that, they give you all the information you need to make a phone call to your senators and your House of Representatives and help us fight some of this crap. Don't just sit there and listen to us. Do something.
Exactly. Be an American. Forget all the stupid party crap. Forget the various factions. You know, I don't care if you're Hispanic. If you're an American, you're an American. Be an American. That's all I care about. Be a legal American. And the antis, we got to get the antis out of here, and we got to start enforcing the Constitution. Period. And it's up to you and me to do it. It ain't going to be those crooks that are in public office. So, let that be one more quick word from you, and then we're going to have to wrap it up.
Well, I'm just going to say God bless Florida, because, Lord, y'all need it down there as much as Texas does.
We sure do.
And I wish if the good Lord would just slap some of these senators and upside the head and these House representatives we got and slap some sense into them, so that old people like me can quit getting more gray hairs about worrying about this. God bless America.
Yeah. Thank you so much, as always, me of Texas, NAMAD Granny Taft. Appreciate it, and thank you all for tuning in. Please be involved. Please think about restoring our Constitution and taking back this country. The revolution, the second American Revolution, it's now or never, and that's the absolute truth. On that note, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.